What if the world's poorest people are actually some of its most skilled money managers? In Bangladesh, a couple surviving on $70 monthly juggles six different financial instruments simultaneously. A South African grandmother living on a government pension saves one-third of her income through informal savings clubs. These aren't exceptions, they're the rule. A groundbreaking study tracked over 250 households across three continents for an entire year, conducting biweekly interviews to understand how families living on less than $2 per day actually manage their money. The findings shattered every assumption about poverty and finance. These households don't live hand to mouth as we imagine. Instead, they maintain remarkably complex financial portfolios. Not because they're financial enthusiasts, but because survival demands it. When your income arrives unpredictably and emergencies strike without warning, sophisticated money management isn't optional. It's the difference between eating and going hungry, between sending your child to school and pulling them into labor, between weathering a crisis and falling into a debt trap that lasts for years. Living on a small income is hard. Living on an income that arrives unpredictably is exponentially harder. This triple whammy, incomes that are simultaneously small, irregular, and unpredictable, defines financial reality for billions. Subir and Mumtaz in Dhaka survive on $1.90 to $3.15 per day through rickshaw driving, factory work, and domestic service. When Subir can't find passengers or falls ill, family income plummets. During monsoon season, their earnings drop 60%. Brothers in a Delhi garment factory, some monthly wages swing between 53 to 85, then disappear for 4 months when orders declined. They borrowed from moneylenders at 10% monthly interest just to eat. Half of wage earners in Delhi lost jobs during the study year. Rural farmers face worse volatility, recovering only 25-30% of expected harvests during bad years. Most households patch together earnings from multiple sources: seasonal agricultural work, street vending, domestic service, construction work. This constant income volatility creates relentless cash flow management challenges that go far beyond what people with steady paychecks can imagine. Every household, even those on less than $2 daily, actively manages both savings and debt simultaneously. Most juggle 8 to 10 financial instruments: informal savings groups, reciprocal lending, microfinance products, money sent to relatives, and more. Consider Hamid and Khadija from Bangladesh, living on roughly $70 monthly. They maintain reserves across six instruments, totaling over $150, while managing multiple liabilities, including a $153 microfinance loan. Their annual financial turnover of $965 exceeds their total income of $840, meaning each dollar earned undergoes $1.15 of intermediation. This isn't financial sophistication for its own sake, it's survival strategy. The most frequent partners are friends or relatives offering interest-free loans, not predatory moneylenders. Subir borrowed five small amounts, under $4 each, from neighbors in just 2 months, ensuring his family could eat daily while maintaining social bonds that serve as financial safety nets. Every household attempted to save, often simultaneously holding small savings while taking loans. This seemingly contradictory behavior reflects how poor households maximize access to multiple financial tools rather than choosing between alternatives. The informal tools they use are typically convenient and flexible, but suffer three key limitations: unreliability, lack of privacy, and lack of transparency. A single illness can trigger financial catastrophe for poor households. When Jalila in Bangladesh fell ill with dysentery alongside her baby, her husband pawned her marriage jewelry for treatment. Years later, when he fell ill, the family went hungry for 3 days. The study documented 167 financial emergencies in 1 year, with health issues causing nearly 70% of crises in Bangladesh and India. In South Africa, funerals cost 6 months of family income. Less than 6% of extremely poor people globally have health coverage. Without insurance, families deplete savings, sell assets, or borrow at high rates. After Salil received a throat cancer diagnosis, they sold their rickshaws, then their land. He died anyway, leaving his family assetless and indebted. Poor people delay treatment until conditions worsen, making costs balloon. After Faisal fractured his thigh, he spent $33 over months with traditional doctors before seeking proper care. Total costs reached $500, including 8 months of lost income. Women often bear the heaviest burden as caregivers and financial managers, sacrificing their own health needs. Poor households face challenges beyond survival, establishing homes, educating children, seizing opportunities, preparing for old age. While the wealthy use mortgages and pension plans, the poor must assemble large sums through piecemeal strategies. Surprisingly, households on minimal incomes save substantial portions of their earnings. Nomsa, a 77-year-old South African grandmother supporting four grandchildren on $115 monthly, saves $40 each month in informal savings clubs. Researchers identified 298 usefully large sums, amounts exceeding 1 month's income, totaling $80,857 across households. These lump sums serve three purposes: life cycle needs like weddings and funerals, emergencies, and opportunities. Saving and borrowing share surprising similarity. Both involve steady pay-ins, differing only in timing. Seema borrowed $20 at 15% monthly interest despite having $55 in savings, explaining interest pressure ensured quick repayment, whereas rebuilding withdrawn savings would take longer. Many participated in rotating savings associations, where members contribute regularly and take turns receiving the pot. Despite impressive mechanisms, these tools remain imperfect in reliability, flexibility, and term length. When Bangladesh's Grameen Bank saw repayment rates plummet from 98% to below 75% in the late 1990s, it launched Grameen 2 in 2001 with two key changes. First, it replaced rigid one-year loans with flexible terms, allowing top-ups before full repayment. Second, it revolutionized savings by replacing locked 10-year group accounts with personal passbook accounts for anytime access, plus commitment accounts offering attractive interest rates for regular deposits. These innovations transformed money management. Kapila Barua, whose husband earned $1.50 on workdays, used her account strategically for food shortfalls, school costs, insurance, gold earrings, and medical treatment. The commitment accounts proved remarkably popular. Of 27 diary households, 20 held more than the minimum for loan eligibility, and 11 maintained multiple accounts. The results were dramatic. By late 2004, deposits exceeded loans for the first time. By 2007, clients collectively owned $1.40 in savings for each $1 in loans. Grameen had transformed from a micro-enterprise lender into a true retail bank, proving the poor are bankable when services match their needs. Not having money is difficult, but being unable to manage what little you have is worse. This is poverty's hidden bind. Without tools to marshal money into the right sums at the right times, minor setbacks become crises and opportunities vanish. The financial diaries reveal that poor households focus intensely on cash flow management rather than risk-return calculations, resembling startup companies more than established firms. Unlike wealthier people with access to credit cards and ATMs, the poor patch cash flow mismatches through small-scale borrowing from friends and neighbors, often at high social and psychological costs. Three significant opportunities exist for providers: helping poor households manage money day-to-day, build savings despite income volatility, and borrow for all purposes. Four principles should guide service development. Reliability means delivering services exactly as promised. Convenience requires frequent access points and quick transactions. Flexibility means reconciling services with irregular cash flows. Structure provides regularities, promoting self-discipline for long-term commitments. Recent technological developments have made these services increasingly feasible. Bangladesh's microfinance sector demonstrates that convenient accounts, structured savings products, and flexible loans can be delivered profitably through dense networks of field officers and mobile banking. Even in sparsely populated rural Kenya, innovations like M-Pesa mobile banking reach remote villages, allowing people to send money, pay bills, and save through basic mobile phones. While improved money management tools won't solve all problems, they offer promising incremental improvements where poor households already invest significant energy. The recognition that poor households are bankable has transformed global thinking about poverty and finance. In a world where the poor face unreliable institutions everywhere, microfinance's greatest contribution may be bringing reliability to their financial lives, giving them tools to transform their remarkable financial sophistication into genuine economic progress.